only a stone's throw away from the South Melbourne markets, vibrant cafe culture, minutes from light rail on the border of Melbourne CBD and Port Melbourne Beach, visit 1585.com.au. 1585, a jewel in the urban landscape.
Of playing second fiddle to your partner's car? Does your partner love their car more than you?
You scratch my car!
Beefy Bev and Byron's, me or the car?
Such a massive decision facing this listener. Let's set the scene. The team went out to Melbourne Cable Park for Beefy Bev and Byron's, me or the car.
Okay, so we're here at the Melbourne Cable Park. Josh and Brittany are in a relationship. Brittany thinks Josh loves his car more than he loves her, so we're about to put Josh to the test. Behind us, that is his car, Victor, being hauled up by a crane.
Look at it, the beautiful VP Commodore from 92, Thief.
On another crane, we are going to lift Brittany.
As Josh, in the actual person?
Brittany yeah, herself. She is going to be up in the air with the car, and Josh is going to have to decide which drops. It's either me or the car. Brittany's going to get dropped or the car gets dropped. It's really brutal.
I'm just surprised we didn't run some sort of OH&S.
Nah.
Check on that. Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Now, after this, we meet Josh. We meet Brittany. What will happen? Stay tuned.
1019, The Fox. Me. Or the car.
And it's all thanks to Brighton Mazda. End of financial year sale on now. Massive reductions across the Mazda range, Fee.
Okay, so there we were at Melbourne Cable Park. Josh's car hanging. Much loved car since 1992. Hanging from a crane. Brittany and Josh, loved up couple, or are they? Because that was the question Brittany needed to know the answer to. Did Josh love her more than he loves his car? So neither of them knew what was going on. We brought Brittany out while Josh was still blindfolded and with noise-cancelling headphones, had no idea what was going on. Let's find out how Brittany reacted to the situation.
Okay, Brittany, welcome to Melbourne Cable Park.
Thank you.
You've come here because you contacted us and you said that your boyfriend of over 2 years, Josh, loves his car, Victor, more than he loves you.
Victor the VP, he does.
You want to be his priority?
Yep.
Well, Brittany, we're going to find out today who is the priority and who is the true love of his life.
Okay.
I want you to look behind you at the crane and just see what's about to happen with that crane.
Oh, my God.
That is Victor. That's Josh's beloved car.
Yeah, that is.
Being hoisted up on that crane 30 metres in the air.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing that's going to be hoisted 30 metres into the air. We're also going to put his much-loved girlfriend 30 metres up in the air.
Yep.
He's going to look up at his car, Victor, and his girlfriend of 2 years, Brittany, and he's going to have to make a decision, Brittany.
Yep.
He has to drop one of you.
What do you reckon he'll choose?
Honestly, I don't know.
I hope he chooses you.
Well, I do too, but this car you don't understand.
This is a 30-metre drop for you.
Yep.
It's a free fall.
Yep.
Well, I reckon if I had the decision, I'd probably drop my girlfriend. Oh, it's your car.
I know, the car's
going to get hurt. The girlfriend's not.
It's true. There's no mat for that car. So, Victor, the car that he has loved his whole life is going to get smashed if he chooses you.
Yeah.
One more time. Who do you think he's going to choose, you or the car?
I hope me. Okay. I hope me, but...
What's your gut say?
I'm going to go... Yeah, I'll put it out there, positive energy, me.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Now, Josh is blindfolded. We're about to bring him out.
Whoa,
and
here we
he's going to be confronted with this devastating choice.
It's me or the car. It's me or the car.
Let's go, Russ.
Let's get Victor up in the air. That's really high.
Victor's going up.
Oh.
Go, Victor.
Brittany's going up horizontal.
Look at the undercarriage.
Oh. How are you feeling, Brittany?
Not very good right now.
Not very good right now.
Brittany, hang in there. Ba-dum tish.
That was great.
Outstanding work, Fief, there at the end. Look, this is a difficult situation at this point for everyone involved.
Okay, well, Brittany, terrified of heights, being launched up there on that crane 30 metres high. What happened, though, when Josh came out and we revealed to him the choice, the devastating choice he had to make?
Josh, welcome to Melbourne Cable Park. You're here because Brittany, your girlfriend of over 2 years, contacted us and said that she thinks that you love your car, Victor, more than you love her. How do you feel about this, Josh? Where do you stand?
I do love the car. I love her more, though. So that's what I was sort of
let her put her faith in me.
Because oh, so, you have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah, I've got no idea, but I mean, this is just to boost her trust in me, I guess.
Talk through your love of the car, though, because this was your uncle's car. You grew up watching it, looking at it, wanting it one day.
I first knew I wanted the car when I was 12, and I asked him to go for drives. As soon as I turned 15, got a job, got enough money, I begged him to keep that car for me. As soon as I got it, I learnt to drive in that car. I don't go a day without it. If I'm not travelling for the day, I make excuses to go out in it. It's reliable, got a few scratches here and there, but I mean,
Josh, you're a lovely guy, and this is a beautiful romance between you and your car,
Victor. You really love the car, don't you?
I do love
the car. I think you love it more than Brittany.
What worries me, Fief, is you're about to take his blindfold off, and there's something he's going to see.
We're going to take that blindfold off you, and then I want you to look to your left and your right and just take in what you're seeing, okay? Alrighty. Blindfold off.
Oh, no. We got Fifi, and my car is suspended.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus, and I got Britt hanging. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Josh.
What does that mean?
You'll find out, I guess.
Oh, God.
So, Josh, that is your car, your beautiful, beloved car, Victor, hanging 30 feet in the air off a crane.
The car you've loved since you were 12.
And this is your girlfriend. You've only known her for 2 years, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Sorry, Britt, I'm on your side, really. Who's hanging off that crane 30 metres? Who's going to fall? Now, look, it's a free fall. But the car, if that drops, Josh, that's gone. That's smashed. Do you want to have a quick chat with Brittany?
I do. How are you feeling?
I swear to God, if you choose that car. Look how far up I am. Do you understand?
Yeah, that's not that far. Don't worry. There's 10 years difference.
Wow. Up next, The Decision.
101.9 The Fox. Sick of playing second fiddle to your partner's car? Does your partner love their car more than you?
You scratch my car!
Fifi, Feb and Byron, me or the car?
We've been doing this with the help of Brighton Mazda. Thanks, Brighton Mazda. End of financial year sale on now. Massive reductions across the Mazda range. And if you've just tuned in, you've missed the whole build-up. Josh and his girlfriend, Brittany. Josh loves his 1992 VP Commodore. There's so much history, guys, with this Commodore. It's more than just a car for Josh, isn't it? It's almost his whole life staring at him.
It is his whole life. He learned how to drive in it. He worked at McDonald's, saved up his money, brought it off his uncle, all to have it hanging up 30 metres with his girlfriend, who he's known for 2 years, hanging also 30 metres. Well, what will he choose?
Well said, Fief. And that was the choice.
Fev.
Facing Josh.
I'm the one without the beard.
You said Fief.
I said Fev. Let's not get bogged down in detail.
You called him Fief.
This was the choice facing Josh. Brittany suspended at the top of a crane, 30 metres high. One of them has to go. It's me or the car.
Okay, now I don't want to alarm you, Josh, but Brittany and the car can only be suspended for so long before they actually both drop. So what's going to happen is we need a decision, and I hate to put this time pressure on you, but you need to tell us or else that car's just going to fall. This is all about Brittany saying, Josh, it's me or the car. Who is going to be dropped 30 metres? Brittany or the car?
Look, I love Brittany, so I'm going to have to pick Victor. I'm sorry, Victor.
It's the car.
I'm sorry, buddy, but you're going to have to come down.
Are you sure?
Yes, I guess.
Josh, you learnt how to drive in this car.
I did.
You've loved it since you were 12.
It's older than me.
Oh, no. Okay, well, Josh, try not to cry, but we're going to crash your car from a 30-metre crane.
Brittany's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure she is.
Here goes. Five. Four. Three. Two.
I'm sorry, Victor.
Oh, jeez. Victor's landed nose first and he hasn't even fallen.
Oh, my God.
He's still just suspended on his nose. The front end is like, excuse my English, but it's
he's given us a handstand. Oh, no.
So there it is, Josh, your beautiful car that you've loved your whole life. You've wanted this car. It's crashed. Yeah. Your beautiful girlfriend, Brittany, though, didn't have to go through and endure a 30-metre drop. We need to tell you now, Josh, that it was worth it.
Was it?
Because we want you to turn around. Josh, you have just got yourself from Brighton Mazda a brand new Mazda!
You're kidding me.
That's all yours.
$1,000.
Are you serious?
Seriously.
Holy
That is a magnificent piece of machinery, and it's worth $24,000.
That's a brand new Mazda Neo Sport. All the bells and whistles from the wonderful people at Brighton Mazda. So does that make it feel a little bit?
It does.
Problem is, with Brittany up there, there's only really one way to come down.
Oh, here we go.
The only way down is to actually drop you 30 metres. So
see, that makes it better. That makes it worth it.
Brittany, I'm so sorry. There's just no other way down. We're going to have to drop you.
Here we go.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, hopefully that net works.
Oh. At least we did it gently, Brittany.
Okay, just to be clear, that was, we didn't know that until we got her up there. So it was only when she was up there and we said to the guys at the Melbourne Cable Park, so how do we get Brittany down when he doesn't drop her? And they went, oh, no, there's only one way down. Yeah. I mean, luckily we never told Josh that or else he wouldn't have picked the car.
Wow.
It was amazing. And he can start a new friendship with his new car and his beautiful girlfriend. Yeah. It's just what a finish. What an
Guys,
ending.
Can we just have a moment for Victor? Seriously, it's the end for Victor.
I've seen Victor. Victor was cooked anyway. Right. We did him a favour.
101.9 The Fox.
Sev, I was talking to you about a lady, Ruthie.
Yes.
So Ruthie wants to change her name by deed poll to Ruthie Doolittle because she genuinely believes she can communicate with animals, even dead ones. So this is a sixth sense she genuinely believes she has.
So the character Dr. Doolittle was famous for that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a movie.
Fictional character.
Right.
She believes that animals can understand everything she says. Everything. Like, it's funny though, Fev, because I feel like I've got some friends that have pets that they believe in that relationship.
I mean, think they can listen to us, yeah, but I don't know if they can. Oh, they can communicate back by love and, but, you know.
Like, there might be things like dinner. They might get that. Like, yeah. A dog should, by the time, I guess, he's a few years old, know that when you go food, that means dinner's coming out.
Right.
But I don't, walk, they know when the lead comes out, and walk.
Yeah, there you go. There are ways of communicating, but I love the idea of a sixth sense that you can genuinely, like the horse whisperer.
Well, the bit that gets me is that she can talk to dead animals.
That's extraordinary.
That's a stretch.
That's a...
She had you at the could talk to animals and she lost you with the dead animals.
Yeah, that's...
Ruthie. I don't know what Ruthie's
look,
all about.
I don't know. Are you like Ruthie, though? 131060, can you communicate with animals? Like, it's an actual thing.
Have we got one?
This is like Patricia Arquette with the medium. You know, the people believe they can cross over and talk to ghosts.
Yep.
Maybe you believe you can actually talk to animals.
So, Ruthie, will she have a conversation with the animal? Like, just a chat?
Woof. Like, I'm not that interested in Ruthie.
131060, if you can communicate with animals.
1019, The Fox.
131060, Fifi, very passionate about this one.
Hang on a second. I have to point out, I'm not an animal person because I don't even have animals, but I was interested in reading that Ruth Bradshaw considers herself like a modern-day Dr. Doolittle, to the point she wants to rename herself Ruthie Doolittle.
Right.
She
Each
believes she can communicate with animals.
Is she a local? Is she a Melbourneian?
No, she's from Essex over in the UK.
Right.
Now, she it's a talent. It's a bought. She thinks it was given to her at birth. She can hear what animals are saying and they can understand her. I love this. Like, there was that book, The Horse Whisperer. That was very popular.
And that movie about that.
That was a guy that was talking to horses.
Okay.
So we've just said, 131060, can you communicate with animals? Amanda in Lang Warren. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, Amanda. Amanda, is this something that you are able to do?
Look, it's only with my dog, I believe. She knows exactly what I'm saying to her. She does as she's told. I can teach her in sign language, so to speak. She tells me when she wants to go outside or when she's hungry or anything like that. I don't think I'm any kind of Doolittle.
No,
sorry about that.
No, Amanda, that makes perfect sense. That I get. I understand that
that's
you train
every
an
pet.
Animal
Is
from...
Is not every pet?
Yeah,
That's just a pet.
Yeah, that's... No.
Yeah, I don't believe I can talk with every animal. That's...
Just with your...
Just
your,
with mine.
Your animal has learned through certain behaviours, like sign language, what you mean. I get that.
Yeah,
Amanda, everything you're doing's right.
Can we have one example of one sign you would give your pet?
Oh, you can just point the finger and point it down to the ground and she'll sit down. Then, open hand, push it down and she'll lie down.
That's an obedient dog.
That is an obedient
dog. That's a dog.
That's fabulous. No, you can train dogs to do this.
That's quite common.
Now we've got Kelly from Ocean Grove. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Now, Kelly, you are apparently Australia's Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, yeah, well, some people say that, yes. But my job is to understand why, like you were talking before about something that dogs do, it's what we call operant conditioning, where they go to the door, they go to their food bowl, we feed them. And that's how people think they can talk to them.
So hang on, a hungry pet goes to a bowl of water.
Well, it's not even, like, a perfect example is my own cat stares at me and stands in front of the fridge. I give him a drink of milk.
Right.
He operates me, but we think he's talking.
Ah.
An animal gets hot. Yeah, I mean, they have these behaviours, but we think that they're talking to us.
Can you talk to a pet that's passed, Kelly?
No.
Yes.
Right. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly, everything you've said, everything Amanda said is very reasonable. I don't know why. I just thought we'd end up hearing about people actually having full-blown conversations with dogs.
It's essentially pets just saying, I'm hungry, and sitting on command. But nevertheless, thank you for the calls.
1019 The Fox.
Bev, I want to talk to you about sport. Did you hear me?
Yeah. I'll take my mint out.
No, I do want to because, okay, I'm not a massive soccer fan, but I couldn't help but get caught up in the furore over the weekend. And I'm now passionate about this because I've grown up my whole life in Melbourne knowing that the soccer is on SBS.
Yes.
And apparently Optus got the rights and now SBS can't play the games. Am I on track here?
I think it's certain games. I think the Socceroos get played on SBS because there was 3.4 million viewers that tuned in on Saturday night, which is amazing. And we played France, and France over in France only had 2.1 million, and that's their game.
Gee, so we're good at watching.
We love
stuff.
Our sport.
We are
our
sport. Very good we at love watching our sport. Sport.
But all the other games, I think, downloaded by Optus. You
correct.
Stream
it's
them.
One game a day on SBS. Yep. Every other game through the Optus Sports service, and this is where the problems start, Fee.
Well, it does because what's happened here is apparently there is it's not working. So there's lots of error messages. There's lots of what do you call it when it's buffering?
Buffering.
Not working. I also think it's a shame that you have to watch a soccer game on your phone.
Yes.
Like, you want it on your telly, don't you?
You
want to sit back on the couch.
It's a real issue.
So
Optus have cooked it.
Well, I knew that there was... Well, I remember when they got the rights and there was already a little bit of, I'm not sure about this, not sure about this. And now seemingly all those naysayers and critics were well within their rights to be critical. And I'm not passionate... See, I'm not even passionate about... I mean, the only thing I could compare this to is if Bachelor in Paradise suddenly became on an app. And if I was watching it and it was buffering...
Like the Kardashians or
something. I would
imagine.
Lose my
You'd
mind.
You'd lose your mind. And I feel, not for Gen Y, because everyone's got... your iPhones and all the stuff that you can get, but for the elderly who love their soccer, they sit down and they get on the SBS and now they've got to download, they wouldn't know what to do.
It's complicated.
No, their grandkids would be over just trying to say, Nan, Pop, this is what you've got. You need your Apple box or Apple TV and you need this
stream,
and that.
You stream that, they'd be like, what?
Do you know what I reckon? And we should make a call now. I think the government need to get involved. I think this one's for Malcolm.
Here.
I honestly believe that our Minister for Communications, who is that, by the way?
Let's look it up. The Federal Minister for Communications.
Federal Minister for
please,
Communications.
Guys. Let's look up who that is.
Mitch Fifield.
Okay,
Mitch Fifield.
Very
big
cool.
Shout out to Mitch right now. You need to intervene. We need these soccer games. We're 1 week into the World Cup. We need them back on free to air. Come
let's
on.
Let's get Malcolm
Enough's
on.
Enough. Well, I know, but Malcolm will go, Malcolm will be going, what soccer? Where's, hang on, where's my Minister for Communications? So Mitch is really the go-to
Mitch
guy.
Mitch is our guy for this
one. He's the guy that
I'll
make. He needs to intervene today and put soccer back on free-to-air and everyone play on.
We're going
to
watch it.
Imagine if we're the show that puts it back on SBS.
Come on, guys.
Should we tweet Mitch? Has anyone got his handle?
And can we create a hashtag, please? Can we work on a hashtag out
there? Hashtag put the soccer on free-to-air.
That's quite long. But we will work on something here and we will get the soccer back onto SBS and off this buffering, ridiculous service. I found myself trying to plug in an HDMI cable through a laptop into my television over the weekend and I just lost hope.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
1019 The Fox.
Just said this before and I maintain I don't believe anything I read because I see stuff about myself in magazines, in newspapers, and I go, well, that's just not true. And poor Sophie Monk goes through it too. And I did see her name bandied around on the weekend and claiming to be in a relationship with Ryan from Married at First Sight. And I just looked and I went, "Heart, that's a joke," as if that's happening. Now, Fev, you've come in this morning. And
this was a chat on the couch.
This was a little chat we had on the couch. And I said, "Fev, I mean, I'm your good friend and you're sharing this with me, but Melbourne are your good friends too. Like, share what you know."
Yeah, so I love Melbourne. And so I thought, well, it's in the Women's Day today.
Oh, wow, then it must be true.
Yeah, it must be true. But this one is, I think, true because I heard it from the horse's mouth. So on Friday night, we had a poker night, all in for charity. Tony Hashem runs this event yearly, and it was at Rod Laver Arena. And there's a lot of celebrities there. There was a celebrity at every table, and then you have dinner. They raise a lot of money for a charity, and then you go play poker. And anyway, just before we started playing poker, so there's a lot of old teammates there. There's literally like 15 old because he's a Carlton supporter. So there's a lot of Carlton players, old and recently retired. And I was in the toilet, and I walk into the toilet, and anyway, I'm just going to the toilet, as you do in the male toilet, and I look over, and it was Ryan from Mass. I go, "Hey, how you going?"
He's like, "Good." Which one was he married to?
Was married to the one that cheated on him with
Davina.
No,
he ended up with Tracy.
Tracy.
In the end,
I don't know. No, they all ended up with each other. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay. That's not the point of the story, guys. Okay. So anyway, we're washing our hands, and I said, "Mate, have you found love?" Just taking the piss. And he's like, "Yes, I have. I've met someone." And I said, "Oh, great." I said, "Who?" And he goes, "Oh, you wouldn't believe it." And I said, "Oh, who is it?" And he showed me his phone. And in the Woman's Day, they've got a phone. It says Sophie and Ryan's new hot romance, right? And it says it's got a phone. It's got a screenshot of like some text messages that are all blurred.
Yeah.
But on the top of it says "babe with a love heart." So that's false because it actually says Sophie Monk with a love heart. And he showed me all these text messages. And he said, "Oh, it's really hard. You know, we've started dating, but she went over to, because she's doing Love Island now at the moment in Spain, and that's live. So they've been back and forth texting each other every day, and he's in love."
Well, hang on a second.
I mean, love this. I love Sophie.
And I consider Sophie a mate. I don't know whether she'd like the guy she's seen showing his friends, a guy he just met in a urinal, all her text messages. Like, I don't know that that's cool, if I'm to be honest.
Well, it's me.
Well, I know, but he's
never... I was never going to say it on radio.
He doesn't know you.
No, he doesn't. I've met him a couple of times, but it's great. Well, good on him. Come on, Boxy.
Yeah, well done.
And I said to him, because I had no idea. And he's like, "Oh, I think the story broke today." And anyway, so I looked it up online when I got home, and it was a little bit, but I think he denied it in the paper. Oh, well, it's out there now. Well, congratulations. If they stay together,
I think he's wanting to go low profile, which is what Sophie, I imagine, would want.
Sure. Yeah.
And then he's just showing guys his messages in a urinal.
She was a bachelorette. He was on a love dating show. I don't think they care if it's public.
Well, it is now. There we go. Straight away.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, I understand if you want to plead the fifth, and this makes you uncomfortable to talk about it, but there's the elephant in the room that must be addressed is Carlton. What has happened there? Like, honestly, one goal.
No goals in the first half, Boxy. Oh, well, we're 27 years into our 30-year plan, so I've got a couple more years to go.
Okay.
No, it was pretty disappointing on the weekend. We'll do a bit of footy chat. We don't usually do this, but I think it's important, yes, that we do chat about this. And I actually went to the footy on the weekend, and I hosted a lot of people from Perth that came over, a couple of Carlton supporters and a few Fremantle.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've been to two games in 2 years, right? And they've won both of them. I thought, we'll go to this game because I thought we'd beat Fremantle.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was there. And the first quarter wasn't great. The second quarter wasn't great.
What was the score at halftime?
Yeah, it was 72 to about 8, I think. We hadn't kicked a goal. It might have been 7. We hadn't kicked a goal at all. So there was no goals. And I actually opened up the glass doors from where we were sitting, and I wanted to hear the supporters as the boys ran off at halftime. And everyone booed. And I was like, that's nasty. I've had that happen a lot when I played. And I went outside, as you do, just at half time, just have a little bit of a walk, stretch the legs.
Whoa.
And as I was going out of the gate, because you've got to scan your ticket, so you scan your ticket to get back in. And I reckon the 15 people in front of me just walked straight out. And the lady's like, "Hey, the security, you've got to scan your ticket. We're not coming back." And I went, ooh. And I looked at the lady. She goes, there's been about 100 of them so far.
Ooh.
And the crowd from halftime, from before the game to after halftime, was probably half.
Oh.
I reckon at least 5 to 10,000 people left at halftime, which is it's astonishing that someone would leave the game. And that's how bad they were.
If your team hasn't kicked a goal by halftime, I reckon that's fair.
And I probably saw the saddest.
You'd be out?
Yep.
I probably saw the saddest thing I've ever seen at a footy game. And I was in a box, and one of my good mates, Cove's got a box, so we used that, and it was amazing. Right in front of the coach's box, right on top of the Carlton coach's box, and there was this lady with a little girl. So when I was hanging a little boy with a flag, and when I was hanging over the side, watching the guys walk out at half time, she looked up and she goes, "Fev, can you go down in the rooms and tell him to kick a goal because my son just bought a new flag and all he wants to do is wave it after a goal." And I was like, "Oh."
Oh, no, that's
heartbreaking. That is like the saddest thing I've ever heard. This poor kid, he's sitting there and he couldn't wave his flag. But anyway, they kicked a couple of goals. But
I'm surprised she didn't ask you to go on the field and actually kick it.
Don't worry, when I was outside,
well, you would have got a few offers.
People go, and I was about 10 beers in. Fev, get out there. I said, I'm half pissed. They said, you'd still be better than the blokes on the ground. I'm like, oh, you poor buggers. But 13-10-60, have you torn a membership up? Because after the game, I'd read a lot of articles and a lot of people, they were throwing memberships on the ground, they were ripping them up. And this happened to us back in early 2006 or 7. We're playing at Princes Park, and people were throwing memberships at us on the ground, saying, we're not supporting you anymore. And obviously when I left Carlton, a lot of people didn't renew their membership because... That was their downfall, I think.
Why don't we, in fact, Fev? Like, just if there are any Carlton supporters listening, I mean, Fev's your man. You know, you are a much-loved Carlton player. And, you know, we feel for you guys. I mean, the Silver Tails have fallen down on hard times. And 13-10-60, yeah, are you a Carlton fan and you're losing faith? Maybe you are tearing up your membership. Maybe you need a little pep talk from Fev.
Give us a call.
Maybe you want a bit of Carlton love.
Yep.
And the thing is, Boxy, Carlton's the most successful club in the AFL, still.
Well, can you give me some qualification for that?
We've won the most premierships.
Oh, well, then maybe you deserve these hard times.
No, but they've been through the hard times for a lot. And even my daughter was in a Richmond scarf yesterday in the room.
That was flattening.
My two little ones want to barrack for Richmond because they go to school, they get bagged. It's Carlton never win. And we used to win.
See, I mean, we are opening these lines for Carlton. But see, I feel for like St Kilda fans. I mean, they've had one premiership in their whole lifetime.
Yeah, I used to bag for them too.
13,
anyway,
10,
Carlton,
60.
We're feeling for you.
I'll give you a little stat before we go to the song. You know the three bottom sides? St Kilda are 16th. I used to barrack for them. Brisbane are 17th. I played for them. Carlton are last. Played for them too.
101.9 The Fox.
Fev would like to forget the weekend and specifically the Carlton Football Club.
As would lots of other Carlton supporters. And look, you know, I'm obviously a Bulldog, Byron, you're a Swan, but we feel for Carlton. I mean, that was bad.
It was bad, Boxy.
And you watch, and as you said, for all people to leave, you know, fans to leave the game, people are tearing up memberships. We don't want to arrive there.
You just wonder what's going on. Like, every player that gets drafted, they can play footy. And they don't go out there to deliberately lose. Like, they're having a crack. And you can't stop. You can't have a go at them for having a crack. But
what's going on in their minds right now?
Oh, they'd be pretty flat. They'd be wishing they had the bye this weekend. Not like,
who have they got
this
weekend?
Don't know. They've got Collingwood at the MCG.
Oh, God.
But it's just the thing for Carlton supporters is they all come up. I haven't played footy for Carlton for 9 years. Oh, we need you back. We need you to play. No, I'm not going to be able to help because we can't get the ball down.
Can I ask a genuine question? Because as a footballer, an A-class footballer, so
A-plus.
Any player in a Carlton football team right now, psychologically, how hard is that to get up next week and play Collingwood?
Yeah, they'd be shot, but that's what you get the coaches around. I think Brennan Bolton's a great coach. He's a happy fella, so hopefully he gets the boys.
Do you just want to quit and not do it?
Oh, no. The best thing about footy, Boxy, is you can play next week, and they might turn around this weekend and win.
I reckon they're going to.
So you never know. But the mindset is you've got to get back. They'll be in there today, they'll train, and then they'll probably watch the bit of the tape and then
lots
just forget about it.
Lots of psychologists around.
Yeah, there probably is. But at the end of the day, they're having a crack, but this year's gone, and maybe next year might be a little bit, but they'll be all right in a couple of years because free agency comes in, they've got a lot of money, they don't want to get a gun yet because they're still developing their young kids. Oh, I should be a spokesman.
Okay, well,
for
we're feeling for you, Carlton, and particularly your supporters. Maria from Greensboro. Hi, Maria.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good.
You're good, Maria. Tough weekend.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, we had our family membership up until last year, hubby and two young kids, and we threw it away last year. We thought,
oh, Maria,
not too much.
You've walked.
Did you throw it away because of the money that you spend? Which they're not cheap. The memberships just for not winning. Is that why?
It was more the fact that we had to psych the kids up. Like from the day they were born, they were dressed in Carlton gear from the hospital before we even brought them home. And then we had to psych them up to get them to a game. It's like, Mummy, why are we going there? We never win, Mummy. We never win. And we're like, you know what? What are we doing to them? Enough is enough.
Maria, sorry, Fev. She probably wants to hear from you before she wants to hear from me anyway.
You go.
No, I was just going to say, though, Maria, do you know what the great thing is? Because I was put in Footscray colours when I was born and I spent my whole life. And can I say, last 2 years ago, it took 39 years or whatever, but for me to be at the MCG and watch the Bulldogs win after all the losses, it's worth it. So I reckon
I know.
The kids on board.
I get it, but our kids are so savvy these days that we can't even bribe them to do anything.
Oh, jeez.
Maria, this day and age, and what Boxy said was 100%, when Carlton get up there and they win a flag, it's going to be amazing. But in the meantime, just go to Google or YouTube and show them highlights of me, and that'll get them up and about.
I said it, Fev. I said it last week in the boardroom. I said to my boss and all my colleagues, I said, we need Fev back, and that's no lie.
There we go. Adrian Hawthorne, we'll have a quick chat with Adrian, a couple more, and then we'll go straight to the news.
Hey, Adrian, you're obviously a Carlton fan. Any words you'd like to say to Fev?
Mate, Carlton hasn't been the same without you. Hasn't been the same. I've been a supporter since I was young and used to come down when I was a very early child, and I'd come for your training days and get photos with you guys. And now I can't even be bothered going down to the G because... Oh, look at the efforts. I can't even stand it. I've just teared up my membership.
Fev.
I used to put bums on seats, Byron, and poor Adrian.
How has this turned into a testimonial for Fev?
I'm trying to get the Carlton supporters up.
Well, get Adrian back. Come on, get him up, Fev.
Come on, Adrian, get there on the weekend. We'll beat Collingwood on the weekend.
Fev just agrees with him and says, no, you're right, it was a better time when I was around.
You just accept the compliments. But you've got to give them faith. Finally, just Ash in Reservoir. Hi, Ash.
Hi, Fifi. How are you?
I'm good, Ash. I'm sitting next to your Coleman medalist, the biggest player you've had in the last few decades. I mean, is there anything you'd like to say to Fev to make him feel good about himself?
Well, Fev, yes, it was great seeing you. But I'd like to say to all the Carlton supporters out there that you can't just go tearing up your membership
when we're
having bad times. So I've been a member for 20 years. I've been going to the footy since I was 4 years old. My dad's been taking me. And there's never been one time where I'd even considered tearing up my membership. Because as you said, Fev, when we do get good and we do win a premiership, it's just going to be that much sweeter knowing that we stuck through the tough times. And, we were there for the whole lot, not just bandwagon supporters that we jump on.
Well said, Ash.
Yeah.
And just a newsflash, Boxy and Byron. People always say, we need to get Fev back. When I played there, we finished on the bottom as well. So I don't think I'm going to do much.
101.9 The Fox.
Fev and I the other day drove out to Melbourne Cable Park, where this is all happening. And Fev, it was sort of, you said, this is in the direction of where I live. And we're talking about down near Chelsea Heights,
Patterson
Lakes. And I went,
I knew how to get there.
Well, I said, so as we were walking out the door, I said, hey, I'm going to follow you. And I didn't have to think then, didn't have to do my sat nav.
Just put your mapping on.
No, it's just easy to follow a mate. So I started following you. Now, firstly,
I'll let her go.
Let me do my bit.
I'll come in for my rebuttal. Because I think I know where this is going.
All right.
Firstly, we got in our cars.
All fun and games now, isn't it?
You pull out so quickly, he's raced off. I'm like, I'm just still putting my seatbelt on. Anyway, I did follow you. Then we got onto the Nepean Highway. And I wanted to explain to Fev, when you've got someone following you, you really have to just stick to one lane. You were darting around, indicating, hopping into different lanes, back into this lane. The lights would be orange and Fev would speed up to go through them. It's like, you've got to wait.
I stopped at a green light because you're so far back.
Well, at one stage, I had to go through an amber light that I was so close to being red. And I thought, I'm going to get a red light. Well, I've gone through a red light camera here trying to keep up with him. I just feel like when you when you're the lead, when someone's following you, you really have to just not be so erratic.
You're done?
I'm done.
Okay. So Byron, she's following me, so I'm looking in the mirror to make sure she's behind. Old Sunday driver. Nepean Highway is 80 Ks, yeah. So I've set the limit to 80.
Correct.
Just cruising on 80 because that's the speed limit. Old mate back here is doing 60.
What are you doing?
In an 80 zone. 60. And I look up at the lights and all I can hear is her mouth going, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
so she's
no.
on the phone. Oh, so when we pull up this place, she's talking to Sonda the whole way, our old producer, Sonda.
Well, that's interesting.
So she's talking to Duck. So she's not paying attention to anything.
Yep.
I've had to stop at green lights because I knew they were going to turn. Literally the way. And I'm like, when we get out of the car, she's like, oh, you're supposed to let me. When you're following someone, you follow someone at the speed limit. I was doing 80 Ks. You were doing 60.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful for erratic drivers like you. You have to slow down in case people pull out and do what you were doing the whole time.
With our drivers. If you don't, you've got to sit on the limit. We had this conversation about the freeways. If you sit on 90 in a freeway, it causes accidents.
That,
you were causing accidents.
I hear you. Back to me, my rebuttal. Now,
you had your chance.
It was a busy Nepean Highway. You can't go 80 when there's lots of traffic. You've got to make consideration for the fact that other drivers are going 60.
That's why you change lanes and go 80.
No. Just stay in the one lane so I can keep an eye on you.
Or get off the phone and concentrate.
I was having a lovely chat.
I know you were. You're having a Sunday drive on a Friday.
Guys, two words, Fief. Google Maps.
Well, that's your...
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
That's not mateship. Friends look after friends.
To live only a stone's throw away from the South Melbourne markets, vibrant cafe culture, minutes from light rail on the border of Melbourne CBD and Port Melbourne Beach, visit 1585.com.au. 1585, a jewel in the urban landscape.